It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
William.
Yes.
How many times have I told you to take off your shoes when you come in my house?
Zero.
Okay, that's what I thought too. I just was checking.
Okay.
I don't know why I love that joke. I love doing that to people where I'm like, how many times have I told you something? And they're like, none. I'm like, okay. I thought so. I genuinely wasn't sure. Glad to check.
Genuinely wasn't sure.
Yeah. So I just wanted a second opinion. But your number matches with mine. None. So we're good.
It's a joke that allows you to do stuff like that.
Exactly.
Just really milk it.
Like, if you'd said like five times, I would have been like, geez, what am I doing? How did I miss that? Or maybe I would have just been like, you're not William. You're a pod person.
Plus, if I've done it five times, you never do it. What's the matter with
right?
you?
Right? Yeah. Clearly, you can't listen to directions. Clearly, I can't listen to directions I'm giving. So I'm really relieved that we both agree I've never said that before.
Yep. Good.
Not saying it now either. Anyway, so the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying. There's a lot of details to this story that don't matter, so I'm trying not to make it too bogged down in that stuff.
Okay.
Trish and I, the producer, my wife, only good thing to come out of Warhead is that line, my wife, and it's not that good. Anyway, we're talking. We are discussing. We're gonna go home to her family's for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I think we were specifically discussing what things we were going to bring home and like why we might bring things and why not. And
sure.
Not very important, but you know, the point is we were discussing, should we take some of this? Oh, well, if we do, then this will be good. But if we do, then this will happen. If we don't, then you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
Anyway, doesn't matter. But at a certain point, she's talking, I'm talking, she's talking, and I say something related to this, and then I say, good point.
To yourself.
Out loud.
Well, somebody has to say it, if it's a good point.
But
might as well be you.
It wasn't, it sort of wasn't on purpose. I mean, like, here's the thing. I was not trying to make a joke.
Sure.
I was not trying to be passive aggressive that she had not said it. I genuinely thought I had a good point, but instead of just thinking it, I said it. And immediately afterwards, I was like, I just complimented myself on the point I just made. And she said, oh, I thought you were talking about what I had said. I was nope. I mean, that is good, but no. I was talking about me. I don't know why I did that.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
I like that story.
Good point, me. Way to go.
I'm going to have to remember that. I want to do that in a conversation sometime.
He said. I see you keep eyeing my Q-tito over here.
Am I?
Yeah.
Right here. Oh, yeah, that. Yeah,
my Q-tito. This was a gift from my wife, from my wife. This is a Q-tito. Specifically, this Q-tito is a bear-ito named Frostito, whose birthday is on September 9th, and whose quote is, free huggitos. If you see the other side, you can see most of the information I just told you.
So, belito, pasito.
There's 12 of them.
Hapito.
Including one called Despacito, which I find weird.
How come you didn't get Frostito? That's a panda.
This is Frostito.
Is Frostito. Okay, sorry.
He's a burrito.
Yes. Because you like pandas.
No. There was no control. You don't get to pick.
Oh, you don't get to pick.
Random.
But this is in the hot line, not the medium mild one.
Right.
Or spicy. Hot.
So, for those of you who aren't watching at home, what a Q-tito is It is a small stuffed animal that is wrapped up a la a burrito in a surprisingly realistic looking tortilla.
Yeah, it does look like a burrito.
The other side
tortilla.
Does not look like so much like one.
The outside does really.
It really does, and you can wrap it up and you take it out, and it's a little thing.
Like a Beanie Baby type.
Exactly. As soon as I got it, I was like, they figured out what to do with all the Beanie, when the Beanie Babies stopped selling. And this one is a little cute purple bear, apparently named Frostito. And yes, to reiterate, they're called Cutitos. This particular species of Cutito is a bearito. Its name is Frostito. And its quote is free huggitos. So in addition to being adorable, I haven't figured out yet for sure, but it may be racist. I'm not sure. I think Americans actually invented burritos, so maybe it's not. But, I mean, it's silly, without a doubt. But I love him. He's
but it
adorable.
Looks like it looks like a panda, except where it would be
it really
black.
Kinda does.
It's purple.
Yeah.
And apparently, there's some of these are more rare than others.
Yeah, some of them are like secret looking.
Yeah, and the way they are, the way they designate their rarity is with a little chili pepper. If it's mild, I suppose it's the least rare. Medium is more rare, hot, and then spicy would be the super rare.
The hidden ones, even.
They don't even show the picture.
And I have hot.
Yeah,
Frostito.
You have a hot one.
Frostito is hot.
You have a hot one.
And
this is series one. So
and yeah, I just
more.
I just keep, you know, playing around with wrapping him properly, which is more difficult than I feel
so there's
it
a,
should.
There's a dog named Belito, and a cat named Pasito, and I don't know. That looks
it's like a lemur, maybe?
Maybe.
Named Despacito, which I find very weird. He doesn't look like Justin Bieber, for the record.
A pig named... And that's in the mild. Then the medium is a pig named Oinkito. Some kind of long-eared creature that I mean, it looks maybe like a baby kangaroo, maybe? Pepito? Or maybe it's like a... Maybe it's a dog, and it's a, like a chihuahua or something. Then there's a rabbit named Hopito. And then in the hot is yours, Frostito. Then this looks like a cat, Luckito. And another that looks like the guy on the top here, Despacito, but he's pink instead of gray. Speedito. And then Fluffito, they don't show a picture
there's
of
a mystery one.
And then down in the super spicy, which must be the most rare, is Chiquito. And Sweetito.
Which are both uncertain.
Uncertain.
So apparently, when my wife was gone for the week, with then staying with her family in Virginia, they saw a commercial for these.
Commercial, huh?
And Trish said aloud, I should get one of those for my husband. And the rest of the family laughed, clearly in a fashion indicating they thought she
it
was
a joke.
Joking.
It was really a joke, yeah.
She was not at all joking. And I'm glad, because me and Frostito are getting along well.
So did you put it in your calendar, the September 9th?
No, so far I've just remembered. It was September 9th.
Birthday. The first toys I ever knew of that had birthdays were Cabbage Patch Kids.
Yep.
My Cabbage Patch Kids' birthday is October 1st.
And
I still remember it.
Gives free huggitos.
Free huggitos.
So, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast in the world, talking about Cutitos?
Probably, unless there's a podcast just for that.
Complimenting ourselves, good point.
There might be.
Me? I was talking, I wasn't.
Oh, that was your good point.
I was good point.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, sorry.
From now on,
your
if we say
fine.
Good point, it's only for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 401, which is technically our real 400th episode, because
our 400th new episode.
Yeah. Now that, when this is finished, we will have made 400 episodes.
Yes. At least as far as the public knows.
Yeah. Right.
we have a special episode in the event of our death where we all tell you what we really think of you.
Yep, we've got it
mailed. No, it don't matter anymore.
Our lawyers are waiting.
One time, William got drunk, ever. Really heavy.
But this is a two-parter because
yes,
next week is our annual Thanksgiving episode.
Thanksgiving, because Thanksgiving's always on a Thursday, as is the hat.
Yep.
So, for those of you just joining us, pay attention, because I'm not going to explain it next week. We have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. People like yourselves, cool people, concerned people, committed people, not like to an institution. Well, maybe that too, but I mean like committed to the podcast. I don't know. What do you think our asylum numbers are? I feel like they'd be good.
If we could just get a chance,
you know, to break into that lucrative market.
If the asylums would just play us.
If we could just start being one of the voices in their heads.
I think we'd be very popular.
Yeah. I'll bet there's a lot of people in there that have voices that sound similar.
I'll bet.
They discovered Cutitos long before they were marketed. Anyway, enough mocking the mentally ill because we're horrible. Anyway, people like to write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, little comments, little questions, topics, things like that. And the hat magically, on its own, transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. It's emu farm raising servants, draw the note cards out of the hat, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the whole show, except for the parts that aren't, which is most of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, did I talk about melee weapons in Fallout last time already?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm still loving that. Still killing a lot of things with the sword. I have learned there are times when melee weapons are not appropriate.
Yeah.
Probably. Two in particular, when somebody is on a faraway ledge shooting at you.
Oh.
Not so useful.
Yeah. No, not so useful there.
And also, there's a certain kind of super mutant that carries a nuclear bomb and likes to arm it and then run at you and try and punch you with
it. Suicider.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That is not a good thing to try and take on with a sword.
No.
No.
You want to get that one from a distance for sure.
Otherwise, that was going pretty well.
And you run into a suicider whenever you go to that hospital. But there's also...
There's a few. I've run into
Yeah, there are a few.
But... Well, and there's random ones, because every time I've run into one so far, I died.
Oh.
And every time I reloaded, they weren't there the next time.
Really?
Every place I've been, but they've been random encounter ones. Yeah. Because every time I'm like, shit, because that's the thing. I'm like, I get you with my sword. Oh, no, I hear the beep, 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 beep. I got to get back so I can shoot. Too late. And then I'm like, well, I'll get them this time, and then they're not there.
There's a hospital where the suicider respawns after a while, and there's also some...
Yes, I haven't been to that
some institute. Robots that are there on that corner as well when you first get there. And if you play the game long enough, they'll respawn and it'll be the same encounter every time.
There are certain places that respawn and other places that don't.
That's right. That's right. That is weird.
I am playing it very different. Some of it is lessons I've learned. Some of it is I'm just trying different things. The stress level is lower because I sort of know what to expect.
Yeah, yeah.
And that helps. And then I'm discovering places that I didn't find, like just little places that I didn't get to, like every location on the map.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of fun. It's also different because I know all about all the factions.
Yeah.
So like the Brotherhood of Steel feels creepier this time.
Right off the bat. Yeah.
Cause I know what's going to, I think I'm going to try for that ending where like everybody survives this time. Mm. I'm definitely not blowing up the Institute this time. I know that much.
Okay.
So, but I don't think I'll take the Institute side. That seems weird, but that Miniman one seems good. I don't know. I'm doing the settlements much slower. I'm sort of paying less attention to them so far. But yeah, it's being fun. Sorry. How was your week?
not a lot to talk about. The most interesting thing that happened is something I just heard on the way over here. They were talking about a show. A critic was talking about a show, and he said that in critics these days have been often referring, when they're reviewing shows,
yes,
to this new phenomenon they call Netflix bloat. Which is a phenomenon where usually it's in the second season of a successful Netflix show where they don't have enough story to fill out that whole second season.
Yeah.
But it can also happen in the first season of shows where someone had an idea maybe for a movie or maybe a really limited run, And when they pitched it to Netflix, Netflix must have said, well, can you make it 10 episodes somehow? Yeah. And they said, sure, what the heck? And you can tell.
Yeah.
So there's basically the complaint is it's not just the show's a slow burn, because that actually might be a good thing. It's that it clearly has a tacked on subplot. Yeah. Or something.
It also happens whenever something is done as a limited series or is something experimental. If it's a success, they're like, we have to make more of this. And it's like, no, it was supposed to be.
Yeah, yeah,
like, supposedly, yeah. They may have a second season of Haunting of Hill House, but it'll be anthological. It'll be a different story.
Oh, well, that'd
and
be
good.
And that's
fine. Yeah, yeah. Because you can't carry that one.
No, that's right. That'd be great.
And, like, I worried about that. Westworld was supposed to be they called it a limited series.
Yeah.
The New Pope. Now, technically, the New Pope is sort of, because now they're doing the Young, or it was the Young Pope, and now it's the New Pope. I don't remember. But it's not the same story, but it's the same thing. I was like, I only watched it because I knew it was limited.
But I didn't know.
Really annoying. I frequently wait till things are done and then find out.
But I didn't know it had become a thing that critics were sort of using.
Content's just being churned out so fast these days. Yeah. With the streaming services, we don't have to adhere to how many time slots are on a channel. It's amazing the shit that's on Netflix that you haven't even heard about.
Right.
Just go browsing for TV shows sometime. It's insane.
But it does create a market for a particular kind of story to be told. It turns out some of my favorite storytelling is told this way. But there are going to be stories that people pitch that aren't going to fit into that format. You know, again, I'm sure Netflix, when they want a new show, they want it to have a certain number of episodes.
Yep, yep.
Not two episodes, not three episodes. And if your story isn't going to fill it all, and they ask you if you could make it fit, and nobody else is buying it, well, you'll probably say yes. And then you're going to have something that's not as good as it could
I
have been.
I do love that they're cutting it as little as six. Some shows have six-episode seasons.
Yeah, that's true.
And I like that.
Yep.
And
some of them aren't
even
long.
And some of them are still doing 22. And I'm like,
some of them aren't even long episodes. Like, they're 20-minute episodes with only, like, 10 episodes.
This is actually a fascinating thing I've been discovering. FX does this a lot. TV shows that are the length they need. Like, not all the episodes are the same length.
Oh, yeah, right.
I noticeably was Atlanta was like that, and Legion was like that.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Where, like, Atlanta's episodes are somewhere between, like, 27 minutes and, like, 42 minutes.
Sure.
And each one was just different. And Legion was the same thing. It was roughly an hour, but sometimes it was, like, 49 minutes, and sometimes it was, like, an hour and seven.
Right.
And I love that.
I do, too.
Not, like, the season is like that. Individual episodes were different lengths, because that's how long you needed for the story.
Yeah, I like that too. So I wonder if it makes me wonder if Netflix does have some like rules before they'll take a show. And my advice to them would be stop doing that, because if someone says I've got something that's going to be 2 1-hour episodes and you think it's a good idea, then just do that.
Well,
why even worry about
it? The market will eventually tell.
That's
if
true.
People
that's
are like,
true.
This sucks. I'm not going to watch this anymore.
Well, they were reviewing a series that was based on some prison escape. Was sort of recent. These guys broke out of prison by drilling through a wall or something.
Mm.
I don't remember what the story was, but the guy who saw it said it was great TV. It was just clearly drawn out.
Yeah.
And if it had just been told in the number of episodes or whatever that was required, it probably would have been one of the best shows of the year. But because it was noticeably filler and stuff in it.
Yeah.
It
well, and we've even noticed a version of this for years, the short story turned into a feature-length film. And you're like, you know what? That would have been good if it was an hour-long episode.
Yep, that's right.
It was a terrible movie. It was an episode, it would have been cool.
Well, and it makes me wonder about The Haunting of Hill House, the book, because, again, very short.
Yeah.
You could probably have everything happen in the movie that's in the book, and it would be a 90-minute or two-hour movie.
Yeah.
But you couldn't make a series based on just the book. I mean, you have to change it.
That one, that's the thing. Second season of Legion, there were actually like two episodes that I was like, not only did I not find them interesting, but they actually didn't need to be there, which is a rare thing for Legion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Hill House had that.
No, it didn't.
I feel like I wanted every episode. Obviously, I wanted the last episode to be a little better, but
yeah,
every episode, and they took some weird detail. I mean, I tell people, I'm like, literally the first half of the series is the same, like 2 days,
yeah,
over and over again, but it's all very different and very compelling
from each character's perspective.
I was very pleased.
Yeah, I didn't feel like it. They wasted any time or episodes. But you know, once they were talking about it, I'm like, yeah, I know what they're talking about. Yep. And I didn't notice it until just now. I hope that's something they correct, because it's too bad to degrade the artistic merit of something just to make it fit a time slot.
Well, I think it's getting worse now, because it's always been. I remember watching shows and I'm like, oh, well, that was a useless episode. And I mean, sometimes they're detour episodes, like this is a bottle episode or whatever, but they're still good. But then there's ones that I'm like,
yeah, but that's like network TV, where they do have to have X many episodes at X many minutes.
Or at least they did.
Yeah, if it's a streaming, you might as well use the freedom of, you know, well, to make it whatever it is.
There's a lot of learning what rules they can break and what they can't now.
That's true.
And you see it already, because the first few, you know, streaming-only series looked an awful lot more like traditional broadcast things, and now they're going in different directions.
I think I heard somewhere, and maybe I just dreamed this, but I'm pretty sure I heard somewhere that Netflix doesn't actually want people necessarily to binge watch things.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Oh, you think they're sort of covering their butts?
It's hard to say, because
reason or
now that binge watching is becoming a thing, stuff is showing up suggesting maybe that's not a good idea.
Oh, yeah.
And so they're like, no, of course, we don't mean
that. Seems like
we
talked about this.
I mean, well, and we've definitely talked about how there are some shows that are good to binge watch, like better than not, and other shows that very much aren't.
Like 24 is actually not good to binge watch.
Yeah, because then it seems silly. Well, and like when I finally made Trish watch Babylon 5 years after it had come out, she's like, why are they acting like this has been a long, ongoing thing? It's only been 4 episodes. And I'm like, yes, but when we watched it, that was a month of our lives. So it felt like a long time.
Yeah.
Like right now, you're right. It seems very quick.
Some things are... But, of course, binge-watching has been around for as long as... I mean, you could say as long as videotape TV shows, but
DVDs are what brought it
home. Yeah, DVDs are really what did it. I was binge-watching long before Netflix, because I could get shows on DVDs, and I loved it.
And especially when you can do multiple episodes on a disc, which is what DVDs... Yeah, like, you couldn't do that so well with VHS.
And I still do that, and I still love it.
I can't do it. My attention span is shit now.
Oh, man.
Sometimes I can do a couple, and I'm really jonesing to do it with Orphan Black. It's very hard to keep to my just watch it at the gym, but I'm like, that inspires me to go to the gym so I can watch more of it. And I keep forgetting that I only watch half an episode, and I'm like, oh my God, I look it up and I'm like, wait, I'm only on episode 3 of season 2. I feel like I've been in season 2 forever. It's like, well, yeah, 3 is 6 work days.
A show that I've watched only a little bit of time, because I was watching it at a friend's house, but I'd love to binge watch it, is Mr. Robot. Because
if I ever watch it, that's what I'm going to do. Yeah, I haven't seen any of
because
that.
It's kind of hard to follow unless you binge watch it, actually, for me personally. But that's good TV. At least season 1 was really good. Season 2, I think, was good, too.
It's hilarious. So we're just about finishing up season 6 of Elementary, and it's mostly off of the DVR. So, you know, we're getting commercials and it's assuming we're watching weekly, which means you get the previously ons, which are helpful.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they're also so spoilery.
Right.
Like, because it's
if you're telling me this, then this is going to happen.
Previously on. Oh, yeah, the shit that we were talking about in recent episodes. Oh, and a 3-second bit with a character from 2 seasons ago.
Yeah, so that's going to be something.
And we just very recently had... I'm going to obscure identities, so this shouldn't be a spoiler thing. But there is this thing where someone in a very prominent position, essentially, they, as part of the alibi, you find out they're engaging in some weird, freaky fetish stuff. Mm-hmm. And like, that's where they were at the time and things like that. And that's what they've been trying to cover up. And it's one of those things where now we can eliminate them as a suspect or whatever. So they don't show up again, ever. And then this previously on recently, we saw the clip where that's revealed. And I'm like, what the hell is this episode going to be about?
Well, Game of Thrones did that kind of thing, too.
People talked about that because there was like a character who was in one of the Starks was in season one and then left. And then like in season six, he was in the previously on. And they're like, oh, really?
Well,
haven't seen him for five seasons.
And as spoilery as it can be, it does remind you who they are, because if
it's often very useful.
Yeah, if they just show up, you're like, am I supposed to know that guy? Everyone's talking to him like I should know him.
Trish will have that with something. If like there's a whole thing with this person, she's like, do we know who that is? Yeah. And I'll pause it. But she's getting better, because frequently when she says that now, I'm like, no, we have no idea who that is.
Yeah.
Or I'll be like, if you don't know, I don't know either. Yeah. So.
My wife asks all the time, are we supposed to? But I do too sometimes.
Yeah.
And most of the time it's no, we don't know that person. But she's like, part of the problem is that she'll fall asleep through things. So she'll think she must have dozed off and missed who someone was. And so I'll have to tell her, no, that's
I think I just get way more involved. I have some obsession with following the plot. I'm much better at it than Trish, but I don't think it's because my memory is better.
No, right.
I think I'm just more invested for some reason.
Me too.
And it's across the board, like, shows I like better than her, shows she likes better than me. I still am the one who has a better chance following
it's
the plot.
It's probably an occupational hazard. You're a storyteller, so you are going to zoom into that stuff.
And I suffer from anxiety, so I want to make sure I don't forget anything. I feel like that could be a component, too.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Anything else your week?
No, go ahead, talk about yours.
Still writing. Not super fast, and it's getting into the rough stuff, like the things I know I have to really expand. We are midway traveling through the worlds with Michelle right now. Like, Rebecca's about to wake up. And that's, we're getting into different worlds where I have to fill in so much detail. A lot of stuff at the beginning was just adjusting things in there. And there are places where I added more dialogue. And there were places where people are like, you already mentioned this, so I changed that out. And places where it's like, you should really mention this sooner, and that kind of thing. But yeah, now we're getting into some deep stuff.
It sounds like... And I hesitate to say this because I'm one of the people that gave you this feedback, but it sounds like you got really helpful feedback when it comes down to it.
Yes and no. I mean, I got a lot of feedback, which is what I wanted.
Yeah.
Some of it was pointless.
Okay.
Some of it was really good. Quite a lot of it was really good.
Yeah.
And I've a little bit pared it down. I'm not reading every single editor
I got back. Sure, that's right.
And at this point especially... I am mostly not reading the copy edit stuff. I'm reading the other stuff.
Yeah, right.
And it's fascinating because there are sections where I literally get diametrically opposed. I get sections where people are like, one editor's like, this was ridiculous, you need to fix it. And another one's like, I love this part.
Yeah.
And I've been talking with Trish about that. You are driving me apeshit. because there are only... All of your criticisms fall into one of two camps. Literally 100% of them.
Okay.
Really useful stuff that I need to, like, be told, because, like, the way I work sort of resists it, and I needed somebody to spell it out for me, and I'm really grateful you did. And shit that you and no one else in the world cares about. And there's, like, nothing in between.
Yeah, well.
And it is interesting because a lot of those things, I'm like, there's some stuff that I'm like, that's good. And then there's some stuff that I'm like, I understand that.
It's probably
that's how that is in your books.
In my world, yeah.
Well, and in your books.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I like your books. I don't intend to write like
you. No,
I write
right.
differently than you.
Right.
And so there's some of those. And then just occasional funny. I still love the one where you were confused because you were genuinely pulling the choirs of angels from the Bible. And I'm just like,
okay,
no,
well.
Dude, I'm making that shit up.
Like, well, I didn't
nobody
know.
Does that. Nobody does that.
I didn't know.
But no, lots of stuff where you're like, you don't need this word. Get rid of this word. And some of them I'm like, it makes it cleaner. It makes it nicer. And other places I'm like, okay, technically the information gets across, but the sentence doesn't sound as cool.
Well,
there's tonal issues and things like
right,
that.
Right.
Places.
And because you're speaking in a very casual voice of this character, there were some times where I thought, well, I'm sure this is just an idiosyncratic thing.
Yeah.
But then I thought, you know what? I'll do it every time and he can decide.
Well, and in the draft, I carry it too far. I have to pare it down a lot.
Yeah,
so a lot of it's very useful. I love the ones where like one editor was confused by something that clearly no one else was ever confused by. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember what it was, but Trish had one, and I was just like, and I looked at everybody else, and I'm like, that's just her. I'm just going to leave that one.
Well, I'm sure I had some of those too.
Well, in a lot of yours, you were like, or maybe I just don't understand. Like, yeah. You had a lot of backpedaling in your edits.
Yep. I know it could be.
Which was nice. And what really freaks me out are the bits where, like, one person has so much to say about this chapter, and then someone else, who I consider just, like, it's not somebody who I'm like, yeah, they aren't as good at this or whatever, said nothing in the whole chapter. Mm. And Trish pointed out, just like, sometimes that's because we're too caught up in it and we sort of forget to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But yeah. Other times it's like, no, it's just fine. And then I totally lost half of Jazz's edits.
Oh, no.
No, I got him back.
Oh, okay.
So whenever I got these originally, I read them all.
Yeah.
And as you know, very originally, very initially, I was like really eager for somebody to send me something.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jazz started sending it in pieces
mm-hmm.
so I could have something, which mm-hmm. I was very grateful for. And it must have been because now I have moved things around and I'm keeping everything on Google Docs, but I'm not working in Google Docs because it's too slow working online.
Right.
So I have on this computer a local copy of the book
mm-hmm.
and a local copy of every edit I'm using.
Okay.
And somehow, and then I don't bother with the others, but after I'm done writing, every time I upload it to
backup.
Yeah. To Google Docs. Somewhere along the line, I think in my head I was just thinking, I'll get to that later because it'll be there. I only put in Jazz's files for the first 22 chapters, and I'm just about done there, and I go back, and I can't find out where the hell I put.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, but I'm second-guessing myself because it's been so long. I'm like, did she only do that? And I'm like, that doesn't sound like her, and I feel like that would have stuck out for me because...
Yeah.
There are people who didn't do it, and that sticks out for me. And there are a couple people that did very little, and that I'm like, I feel like I would have remembered that.
Yeah.
And I felt really embarrassed. I emailed her, and I was like, you did the whole thing,
right?
And she's immediately like, yeah, no, here's the other file. And I was like, okay, I'm sorry. I felt like I was like downplaying it. I was like, I didn't remember. Did you write something? I'm like, I absolutely would have read this. Like that, I've been through it clearly. It's been because I made such a gap.
Yeah.
Did you hurt yourself? Or have you been kissing someone?
What are you talking about?
You have a mark on this cheek.
I just scratched it.
Okay. It happens to work such that it looks a little like a lipstick print.
Nice. I wonder how I could use that to my advantage.
Exactly. But yeah, so it's going well. I'm a little over a third probably. It's probably better to say a third because I think there's going to be a lot later. As I said before, I think I'm committed to the end of this year. Or not this year, next year, sorry. It will definitely be done by the end of 2019. I wouldn't be surprised if it was done by, like, January or February.
I don't know if I said this particular thing about it, but it was a fun read. I mean, it was fun to read, so...
Well, I'm going to give, because it has come up a lot, the first-run editors are going to be given an opportunity to read the next draft without having to edit.
Okay.
If they want. They don't have to, but I'm going to send out an email on that. Because a couple of them have said, like, can I? And I've been like, sure.
I'd be thrilled to read it without having to think about it.
Yeah, no,
that would be fantastic.
So I'm planning to make that option for Google, and then I got a bunch in the second string, assuming they stuck around, because I've had them on the line forever. But yeah, I'm not going fast, but I'm going consistent. And even fall, it's not really getting in the way. Because any day, there are only certain days that like I'm like, I have time to write.
Mm-hmm.
But I decide that like beforehand.
Yeah.
And on days where I'm like, I have time to write, I have to do the writing before I can play Fallout. And frequently on a day when I write, it's like 1 to 2 chapters. But I'm like, I do it a few times a week. That's good progress. I'm making it. And like Thanksgiving, I'm taking the laptop home with me. I mean, to Chillicothe with me, and so I'm hoping to get a bunch done then.
Slow and steady wins the race.
Exactly. Just keep going. And that helps. Didn't see any movies or anything. We're going to see Bohemian Rhapsody this weekend.
Oh, okay.
I'm very excited about that.
Okay.
My brother-in-law, who is the biggest Queen fan in the world, really liked it.
Oh, good.
And told me it would rock me. Yes, he did. The critics have not liked it as well, but people have liked it.
So. Yeah, it's kind of odd.
And this is the thing, like, I've heard some of sort of the criticisms or whatever, and it might not be a great movie. I will be very surprised if it's not a movie that I enjoy watching immensely.
Sure, sure, right, right.
It may not be a movie that I'm like, it needs awards, but like, I'm going to like watching it, I'm pretty sure. Also, gamed this week.
Oh. Yeah, what are you doing with gaming right now? I forget.
Dark Harbor. It is a Dresden Files game set in a very small Pacific Northwest.
That's town. Right, right, right.
Yes. So we had a game this week.
And it wasn't a building game. It was
game. We've been playing for a while now.
Oh, okay.
So we played this.
Okay. Why don't you go ahead and tell me about it? Why do I have to ask?
What do you say? Do you want to know how it went?
No.
Okay.
What's the next thing you want to talk about? Right. Yes, I want to know how it went.
Oh, my God. It was bonkers.
It was bonkers.
It was absolutely fucking bananas, and I loved it. My players are fucking lunatics. So, we had a thing before. There's something evil in the woods, and they found out it's these flowers growing in this one place. It has this pollen, and it makes animals go crazy, kind of rabid and stuff like that. But with people, they don't do that, which was a big problem in the last time we played, which is a couple weeks ago, because we spent the whole adventure getting to the point I thought we were already at, because the people who were there had misremembered and were looking all over town at 3 in the morning for a guy they thought was basically looking like he was rabid. And then they come to find out, no, with humans, it's like being sort of possessed, and like they're just going to seek out ways to distribute it further.
I don't remember us talking about
this. I don't think I did talk about this part. Okay. But anyway, so this happens, and they finally figure out who it is.
Okay.
Because there's one guy who they found evidence that there's somebody there, and they find out who it is, and they finally... They got back at 3 in the morning. They wasted their whole night looking for him, not sleeping. It was terrible. They finally figure out what's going on. They figure out who it is, and they go to his house in the morning, the day of the harvest festival in this small town. They break into his house, find out he is not there anymore, but they find evidence that he put a bunch of this pollen in punch and drinks that presumably are going to be at the Harvest Festival.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we ended last time.
Mm.
So this time, I find out that when I present my players with a problem and don't offer them a specific solution, they don't know what the fuck they're doing. Two of the players spent the entire episode, pretty much, just trying to find different NPCs and telling them what was going on, sort of in the hopes that they'd fix it. And first of all, they kept trying to go to people's houses and places of work, and I kept being like, no, it's closed because it's the Harvest Festival. And they kept doing it, like, I'm going to go by this, it's closed. I'm going to go by her house. She's not home. She's probably at the Harvest Festival. And every time they'd find them, they'd get versions. The answer would always basically be either, you're a nut job, what are you talking about? Or, yeah, that sucks. I don't know what you're going to do about that. The whole time, the one guy... who is very specifically, his character is built, he's an incredibly aggressive character. First of all, his whole thing is he's trying to control his temper. Second of all, he is the last of one of the founding families in town because his parents died under mysterious circumstances, and he's obsessed with finding out what that is. Mm-hmm. So he's always just very aggressive, and he ends up going to the local deputy sheriff to explain things without explaining too much because it's all kind of supernatural and stuff.
Right, right.
And eventually the sheriff figures out that this is a contagion issue that came up like 12 hours ago and that he did nothing, and he's just pissed off. So he's chewing him out. He's like, what the hell is wrong with you? So our guy gets extra mad and is like calling him deputy shit heel and things like this. And my friend felt bad because we're yelling at each other, and at a certain point I had to stop him. I'm like, this is role-playing. This is awesome. I'm not actually mad at you. This is because he doesn't like that kind of confrontation. So I'm like, no, this is what I love about role-playing, though. We can put on angry without having to suffer for being angry.
Right, right, right.
And say that, you know, sadness, lust, things like that. It's fun. This is literally what I get out of role-playing is to be able to put on an emotion without having to suffer the consequences for it.
Yeah.
So we're doing this. But he's so pissed. He basically, at a certain point, he's like, he essentially says to the cop, I know a bunch more details that will be helpful to you, but you've been such an asshole, I'm not going to tell you, and leaves.
Wow.
Which, FYI, I don't think he did actually know more. I don't know. But this was not good. And then, because he's run out of ideas, he just runs out to all the refreshment tables and just starts flipping things, screaming about, they're trying to poison us. It's a conspiracy. All of this. And so slowly, like, a posse is forming. Meanwhile, the other two, the one who can actually cast magic spells, she's an electromancer. So she comes up with the idea, and it worked by the gaming rules, but she and I had to do a lot of number crunching and things to make it work. She essentially electrifies all the fluids within a half block.
Ooh.
So everybody dropped their cups. Go figure. Mm. So finally, the fucking thing ends. They have not resolved anything. We have now learned that, first of all, we think it has a demonic origin. But we don't know who. A whole bunch of people, but we have no idea who or how many, have clearly been infected. Mm. And Angry Guy ended up in jail.
Well, how does this affect humans? You were saying it affects humans differently.
They don't know. Well, in the case of humans, it instills in them a desire to spread it more.
But what is it?
That they don't know.
Oh.
And the best they could do is they gave their nerd NPC a description of the shape of the flower, and she did as much research as she could manage. And she basically came up with, this shows up in a lot of folklore as the flower of a variety of different demonic spirits and agents, and is frequently used as a tool for them, like possessing people and stuff like that, is frequently tied into situations where, like, a whole town will go nuts and murder everybody and things like that. But it's a lot of different kinds of stories, so we don't have any specifics. And they didn't, like, they stopped it from getting worse than whatever it was at that point, but they have no idea of the level of contagion. The original guy lost his mind, which was helpful. They caught him, and he's like, she's coming back, and there's nothing you can do about it. But he's the mayor's brother, so he just went away to a spa for a while. But he's gone. But yeah, and one of the players ended up in jail. It was just such a hot mess, and so I had such a fun time.
They've got to figure out which specific demon is using it, kind of thing.
Assuming that their information is accurate, which it's not particularly.
Oh, okay.
This is going to come up a lot later, and it is tied into backstory of certain of the players that they're not. They left some things up to me. In particular, one left their parentage up, and that's part of their thing. They're trying to figure out who their parents are. This is tied to that.
I see.
And it's technically not demonic, but it's sort of demonic. But yeah, no, this is just going to sit there now. I'm doing other shit. The next adventure is a totally different thing, but it'll come back to get him later. And the one guy's already been bailed out of jail, so that part's good. Although, oh my God, the problem is there's a local police force, and then there is one deputy sheriff, because this town is very isolated, so he's essentially the county's presence, because the actual county seat is very far away, and there's no reason to have regular county, like, folks here, so he's just stationed here. But he's very much, I built him to be the nice guy, because the other ones are all, part of the thing about the game, and they don't know the details yet, but that we worked out when we built it, is the town is incredibly corrupt from these founding families. And what these founding families, in addition to running City Hall, totally run the police. So the county sheriff is like the one guy who's not, but man, is he pissed off at my player now, and so, like, that's not good. That's going to be a mess later.
So your player went to the county law on purpose? Circumvent the local law? Or?
No. I was trying to help out. When they got back from the woods, it was 3 a.m. And they were putting up the decorations for the Harvest Festival, because that's how city council likes to do it. Like, even though it's kind of a pain in the butt, they like to do, like, you go to sleep one night and you wake up the next day and all that. Yeah. So at 3 a.m, all these guys, is that your ride? Do you have to go? That sounds like an actual fire truck. Yeah, that's maybe it was an ambulance. Oh, my goodness. It's a fire blitz. Ambutruck. So they come back, and the sheriff is there, because he still basically works out of the police station. And he basically drew the short straw this year to be the one to keep an eye on things while they're putting up the decorations. And they had found a gun They had found a whole campsite, actually. And they had found a gun. And so they decided to talk to the guy and said, can you find out who this is registered to? So he was already involved. And they just did it because he was there. I don't know if they would have done it if the regular police had been there. But I purposely was like, oh, I'd say that this guy's there and he can be on their side. And he was totally on their side. And then they came to help. And he's like, wait, there's a contagion? What? Why am I just hearing about it? We literally spoke. You handed me a gun covered in this stuff. Why am I just hearing it? Like, he was pissed. Oh, and I forgot to mention, the angry guy was on speed the whole time. Well, not the whole time.
Yeah, that's
but
not good.
When they came back, they hadn't slept, and then they kept going. And they woke up. Part of the reason they had only gone because the actual other player had not been there for the last game. Mm. So I just was like, oh, no, you guys go. Mm. And then they came back, and they woke her up at 3 in the morning to help with this. But they went around. They haven't slept all night.
Mm.
So one of them just was exhausted and loopy and not making any sense most of the time. The other one, because he's an EMT, I played off of that, and I'm like, you know things that could keep you awake, and you have access to them. And so he went for it. And so, yeah, so he was hopped up the whole time. Hopped up on goofballs.
Yeah, hopped up on goofballs.
So, yeah, it was an absolute circus, and I loved every minute of it. It was awesome.
Sounds cool.
Yes. All right. Yeah, I think that's it. Let's hat something. Next episode is going to take place on Halloween.
There's something.
No, literally, like on Halloween. It's going to be a Halloween party at a fancy house. Like, it'll kind of be a bottle episode that way.
There's something I want to talk about next week.
Okay.
About Thanksgiving. Try to remind me about a story idea that I've got.
Pretty sure this episode's just going to be called Hatito.
That's a good one. Is there one named Hatito?
No, but there's a hat.
Yeah, I was just...
Yeah, it would be weird if I just randomly named the episode after a cutito I don't have. No, I'm calling it Despacito. All right.
Jazz wants to know, why aren't you watching Steven Universe yet?
Because I'm recording a podcast. Get off my back.
And...
Oh, she probably doesn't mean right at this moment.
I don't... Now, the last time I tried to watch it, there was no way for me to watch it. Like, even like little ways that I have to watch things that are bootlegs or whatever wasn't there. I couldn't figure out any way to watch it. Now, I probably could watch it now through like ordering it from Netflix or
yeah.
Or maybe there's other ways, but I
think one of the streaming services has it, and I... Oh, okay, here's what I'll say. I suspect either Netflix has it or YouTube
has it
because I know of certain children who have watched episodes of it, and I'm pretty sure those are the only two things they have access to.
Yeah, right. But whatever streaming service or thing it's on, it's locked down pretty tight. And in previous seasons, you could only watch it through that service, and we didn't have it. So
yeah.
I stopped trying.
Also,
but I could probably find it now.
Technically, on the Cartoon Network app, it might be, because, I mean, that's where it
is. Is that where it is? Okay.
The problem is the Cartoon Network app is geared towards you being a little child. It's literally just a bunch of pictures of the cartoons, and you pick them, and then it puts together a playlist, basically, for you of cartoon episodes. And I'm like, fuck you.
Well, whatever it was at the time I looked, and maybe it was before I had a phone, that's one thing, that it was locked down. You could not get it. Any back doorway or anything, if you didn't have Cartoon Network, I guess you weren't going to see it. But now there's been so many past seasons. There's something on DVD you can get from Netflix or something. I could watch it that way. I mean, I am interested in it. Very interested.
I am interested as well. I think there's three main reasons I'm not watching it. One of which I think is valid, and the other two of which are probably not valid. Jazz, I kind of want you to speak to this because you're one of my sort of experts on this. The first one is just that there's just too many shows. I don't watch a lot of shows, and I pick and choose, and it's very dependent on my mood and my situation. Yeah. And I mean, I'm not watching that. I'm also not watching a bunch. I'm also not watching Good Place right now. I'm also not watching a bunch of limited series and miniseries that I've got sitting in my Amazon queue.
That applies to me too. There's a lot of things on my list. A lot of things.
I'm not watching Killjoy's fourth season. I got the whole thing sitting there, but we're busy watching other stuff. I'm not even caught up on Doctor Who. I got like two or three episodes sitting there. We don't watch a lot. This is a problem. And I don't think Trish is interested, and that always doubles the complexity when it's something I have to watch on my own, because that doesn't happen very often. So that's a factor. And that's the one I think is valid, because that just happens with everything. The other one, and this one is really a big one for you to answer, Jazz. Like, I've heard people talk about it, and it's got themes and ideas that are very cool and very progressive, and I like that. It still sounds like a kids' show in a way that doesn't sound really appealing to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know, but like, and honestly, the fact that the kids next door like it is not a good sign for me. And I mean, I have a fucking burrito named Frostito on my leg right here. I'm fine with kids stuff, but like, and you know, Last Airbender was arguably a kids thing, and that was fine. I think just when I see like commercials or clips or whatever, it feels like it's not good for me. Like I wouldn't necessarily be interested enough in the actual individual episodes.
Right.
And Jez, I think you should speak to that, because like I may be very wrong on that. I have very little to go on for that. But that's that, and it's not. I haven't decided. No, it's kid stuff. I'm not watching it. But that has like unconsciously stopped me from picking that as like the next thing I watch.
I will say that for me personally, if Jez hadn't picked up certain things to show me, certain clips and certain things. Yeah. If I'd just seen like promos for it, I don't think I would have. I wouldn't have had any way to know.
And sort of the only thing that's changing my mind largely is that Jazz is so into it.
Yeah, that's right.
And I've seen things from the Kinjasizes of like AV Club has talked, like when they had, you know, same sex kisses and stuff like that in there. I'm like, the AV Club had talked about those, and I think Jezebel talked about those, and I was like, oh, good on them. But me saying that is awesome that a show is doing that, I want it to keep doing that and being successful, it's not the same thing as saying I want to watch it.
Sure, that's right.
But I have been curious. And then the third one, and this one's a tricky one, but this is a thing for me a lot. As near as I can tell, there's like 8,000 episodes and they're still being made. Maybe they're not. Maybe it finally ended. But it's the same thing. I watched occasional episodes of Adventure Time, but it was the same thing. I have obsessions with, I need to watch shit in order. I need to watch the whole thing, you know? And it's just daunting. That's why I never watched Supernatural until I got that gym.
There's a connection
situation
between Adventure Time and...
Gravity Falls. And Steven Universe, I think. Not Adventure Time, I don't think.
I thought the woman that's doing Steven Universe either worked on Adventure Time.
Oh, maybe.
Time or...
No, I thought you meant actually in the content. I believe Gravity Falls is like literally a spinoff from Steven Universe or something.
I'm just saying that the woman that does Steven Universe did some stuff with, I don't know if she was a main, well, maybe she was, I don't remember. She's got some connection to Adventure Time.
But just the quantity has been an issue. The quantity and the belief that I thought it kept going, although I'm thinking maybe recently I read something that's over. But I might be confusing because Adventure Time recently ended.
Okay, well, the reason I mention her connection with it is because I think that the tone of Steven Universe and Adventure Time are similar.
Okay.
Like, if you can enjoy Adventure Time, maybe...
And I can for a single episode.
Yeah, right.
A little goes a long way with Adventure Time. And also, Adventure Time, to me, has very little continuity. And it feels like Steven Universe has a lot of continuity.
Yeah, sounds like it.
But you get, like, I'm fine watching a random episode of Adventure Time. Steven Universe, I want to start at episode one.
Right.
But, I mean, both of these things you can speak to, Jazz. And it's not like I've worked really hard to research how accurate my views are on this. These are just things that, like, this is the first time I've articulated them, even to myself. I just think that's what I was thinking in the back of my head.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I think it seems cool, and I am interested. I don't know that...
I think if it were easier to access the content, yep. we would have watched a lot of it by now, but it just hasn't been. But maybe it is now. But then we've got to put it in our queue, and there's all kinds of other things in our queue if that's the case, so we'll see how that goes.
I'm still really digging Orphan Black. I'm thinking The Good Place might come after I'm done with Orphan Black, because the first two seasons of Good Place are on Netflix. And Good Place is just the right size for a workout. Like, it's a half hour
show. You haven't watched any of it?
A long time ago, Trish and I watched an episode that was not the first episode, but was early in season one, and we had no idea what the fuck was going on. Mm. That's another one I feel like you really have to watch in order.
You kind of do.
And it was cute. Like, we liked it. I wasn't like, why the hell is this a show? But, like... We watched it. It was one of those, like, we just wanted to watch something, and it happened to be on, and we're like, oh, let's take a look. But, like, nothing about it was like, whoa, we got to watch more of this. So we didn't do it. And then since then, everybody said it's the freaking Second Coming and wonderful and everything. And it has so many people in it I like.
It is outstanding. I mean, I don't...
So it's absolutely on my list.
I can't say a negative thing about it, honestly. Yeah. And I was afraid that season two would ruin it. Because season one was very good and very, and it's like, season two, why are they going to do that? Nope, season two is fantastic.
Well, apparently season three is pretty good too. Or is the season two what they're on now? What's the current season?
Just two. I don't know if they're even going to have more than two.
There's a season that is currently airing.
Two.
All right. I thought that was season three. I thought we already had two. All right.
And if I'm wrong about that, that would be awesome, because I would love to watch a season. Because since they did such a good job with season two, I have total confidence in them doing a season three, even though, again, they seem complete, you know, like it doesn't have to go anywhere. But then they figure out a way to make it go. And I have total confidence
in them. Well, everything that's not part of the season that is currently airing is on Netflix. I know that much.
Yeah, it's a Netflix series.
No.
Isn't it?
It is an NBC series.
Oh, you're right about that. No.
There is a series currently airing weekly.
That's right. So maybe there is a season three then.
Yeah, I think season three is currently coming out.
Oh, well, I look forward to that, because I'm sure it's great. Because the first two seasons have been fantastic.
Because one of the ones AV Club's following, so I don't read the articles, because why would I? But I see the scores and stuff as I'm scrolling through the feed, and yeah, they like it.
Well, I have no idea they were going to do a season three. That's great. But
oh, yeah, are you kidding? It's a broadcast, well, I guess you thought it was never. It's a broadcast network show that is doing really well and is really well liked.
I thought it was Netflix.
You know, get out a lot.
I mean, that always says at the beginning if it's Netflix, so there's no way for me to mistake it for something else. I don't know. I must have been crazy.
You watched any of the new Murphy Brown?
No.
We're watching it slowly. It's interesting.
Yeah, I'm sure it's that.
It really.
I mean, I didn't watch the original. I mean, I was not a fan of Murphy
Trish
Brown.
Didn't watch a lot of the original. I did, and I really liked it.
Okay.
But my memory of it is fuzzy, because it never syndicated for some reason.
Oh.
Or at least, I think it did in the time, but, like, it's been years since you've been able to see any Murphy Brown.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like a lot of other things where I've, like, watched it over and over the years and remember it well. But, I mean, I was very much a fan, and it was a very big thing politically at the time.
Yeah, she had a kid by herself and all that stuff.
And fucking the vice president made a speech about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And a bunch of real life politicians guest starred on the show as themselves. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a very big thing. It's such a weird mix of it understands what the original show was, what was good about the original show, but at the same time it maybe doesn't understand that show can't exist now. It's so wonderful and stupidly frustrating all at once. It is very much, I didn't watch the new Roseanne show, but I heard that while the show made sort of an effort to tell both sides, because there's a lot of worry that, like, oh, it's going to be very right wing or whatever, and I heard from reviewers and stuff that the show does sort of try to show both sides, But it's really kind of clear which side they think is the right one, even as doing that. And I feel like this is doing it in the opposite direction a bit. Like, it makes some interesting points, but a lot of the stuff it conquers is very sort of straw man-ish. And maybe people just forgot this, but Murphy Brown, the character, was stubborn to an insane fault. Like, there were entire episodes, entire arcs that were about her refusing to budge on things, sometimes to the detriment, sometimes like where it ended up that she clearly should not have done that. And there's a lot here where she's just like so stuck in her position, and it's a position a lot of us can agree with, but she is so hard and fast into it. Then the wonderful thing is, so in the show, there's a bar that everybody goes to hang out in DC called Phil's, and Phil's there, and we had a lot of shots there. If we weren't working in the newsroom, we were at Phil's hanging out or whatever. Phil's exists in this, but Phil died, because I think the actual actor did die, and his sister took over, his sister being played by Tyne Daly, and she's amazing. She's brilliant in this. It's really wonderful for that. So it's this weird mix of nostalgia while trying to be very hardcore, politically relevant, and very thin satire. Watch an episode that was about Mike Shannon, who was very clearly just Steve Bannon. part of the thing is her son, in the show she had a baby.
Yeah.
Her son is now grown up.
Sure, yeah.
And he's a journalist. And he's got a show on the Wolf Network, which are the bad right-wing guys.
Fox, yeah.
And he's like the token liberal on there and stuff like that, and there's a lot of things. But that's the thing, so it's very... No, he's the token liberal on the Wolf Network.
Oh, okay.
And part of the shtick is that they have opposing shows on different networks in the same time slot.
Right.
And she's on CNC with her show. So it's all very, very thinly veiled. It's good and frustrating. Oh crap, I talked too long, we're over time. Alright, that's it people, we'll be back in a week or just a few minutes for us. Tito.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.